Okay.
We got those good blue squiggles that Alex likes so much. I just finished the black phone edit, and you said your favorite shade of blue was the Audacity squiggle color.
Oh, yeah. Did I say that? Yes, I don't remember half the shit I say on this show. It's 90% bullshit, 10%, 9% substance, 1% really, like, just like...
Just screaming.
Yeah.
Maybe if you need to contract something to get out of your next obligation with a family member, you could have an intimate moment with that blue squiggle.
Mm. Oh, there yes. you go.
The blue squiggle gave me gonostea.
Gonna stay at home today.
You know what? I'm leaving that in as the cold open. That will make no sense because everything else was off air. Anyway, let's do this thing. Okay. Welcome to Nothing to Fear, a weekly horror movie podcast, coming to you for one more time in 2022. Every week on the show, we watch a different horror movie and talk all about it while talking about our own lives and experiences. My name is Billy Schultz, and I'm joined every single week, including this week, by Alex Wan and Luke Mason. Hello, we're not recording on a Sunday morning right now. It's Wednesday at nighttime. Mm. How are you, Alex?
Oh, why is it a Wednesday evening?
Why indeed?
Because we wanted to hit up hump night.
Right.
Oh, yes. Why does hump night sound so much worse than hump day? Oh, God.
Really, like, logically, it's not that different.
It's not, but it is. It's miles different. Anyway, Alex, how are you doing?
Today, I'm much better than yesterday. So originally, we were supposed to record yesterday evening. Due to circumstances, we did not. And I had an interesting story to tell last night, but I guess I can still tell that story. It's not as fresh.
Roll credits.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. It's yeah. Okay. So here in Calgary, where I live, it is fucking cold. Like, it's colder than Antarctica here right now. Then I think it's like an average of -27, -28. And with wind chill, it's like in the 30s, maybe close to 40s. Mm-hmm. And this is degrees Celsius, Americans.
Yeah.
It's cold as fuck. So yesterday, I get off work and, you know, it's like 5 p.m. and it's cold. And I start my car. I'm brushing snow off my car. And my dumbass hand accidentally hits the window button. And it's the window from my passenger side. And okay. It's one of those, it's the like electric windows where, like, if you like halfway push it, it goes down until you stop. But if you push all the way, it goes all the way down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, fancy car, whatever. So I hit the button by accident, window goes all the way down. I'm like, oh, you dummy, like, whatever. I hit the button to go up, and it goes, like, halfway up, and then it slides back down.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
That's weird, what's going on? I hit it again, it goes halfway up, slides all the way back down. I'm like, well, that's no good. Like, I've had window problems before on a previous car, and it's whatever. But the last time it happened, it was, like, maybe April, when it was, like, maybe... like some light rain, yeah. But right now it's like it's -28 and my window won't roll up.
Right.
So at first I'm like, oh shit, did I break it or anything? So I'm like, I don't think so. Like, it looks like it's working, but like there's some resistance and it's just going back down because like it's not like jilted off position. It's still going up the way it should be. So sure. I'm like, okay, like most likely reason is it's frozen. Like it's just too cold and it won't roll up, which really fucking tilted me because if it was frozen shut and it never opened in the first place, it would have been fine. No problem. But the fact that it opened and then immediately froze open was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, this is no good. Like, so I'm like hitting the button. I'm trying to yank it out with my glove. No go. It's like, it's stuck. And it's like getting more stuck. Like, it used to go halfway up. Now it's like going barely up and then falling back down. I'm like, this is not good. So I'm like Googling like what to do with a frozen window. And like some dumbass on the internet was like, oh, you could pour some boiling water on it. I'm like, no,
don't do that.
That will fucking explode my window right now. It's so cold that, like, that's a bad idea. And some other person was like, oh, you could pour some, like, rubbing alcohol, mix that with a little bit of water and that, like, some kind of science chemistry shit. And I'm like, I don't have any of that right now. So, like, I'm like, all right, I need to warm my car. how do I do that? So I call my mom and I'm like, hey, mom, I need to come over to your place and go to your underground parking because she's got heated underground parking. And she's like, okay, have you tried a hair dryer, though? I'm like, I'm at the fucking office. Where do I have a hair dryer? But
also, do you have a hair dryer?
I actually don't own one. No.
Yeah.
So that's my plan. I'm like, I hang up and I'm like, all right, this is going to fucking suck, but I'm going to drive to my mom's house. And my work, like my office is down in Chinook for the two of you. That's some context. It's like pretty much right next to Chinook Mall.
Okay.
And my mom lives way up in the Northwest. So it's like 30, 35 minute drive. So I'm like, so I'm driving and I'm like, I don't really want to do this because it's really cold right now. My heat's on full blast. Like everything's blowing. I got my seat warmers on. I got my passenger seat warmer on, thinking maybe that'll warm up my door somehow. But I'm like driving like in minus 28 weather with a window open. And I probably look like such a fucking dumbass.
Arctic adventure.
So I'm starting to drive, and then I'm like, this is terrible. I do not want to drive all the way out there. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like rolling in my mind, like, who are friends I have that live pretty close here that have heated underground parking? And first thought was mutual friend of ours, Michelle. And I'm like, okay, I could call Michelle. And then I realized, no, she's in fucking Chile right now. She left yesterday. And I'm like, no, okay. And then I'm like, oh, I have a friend, Andrew. So he lives in Crescent Heights. So I call Andrew. He's at work. I call another friend, Simon. He lives downtown and he's not at home. He's unavailable. I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm like, I'm driving on Deerfoot, like Deerfoot, the highway. This is like highway where you go 100 kilometers an hour. For Americans, that's like 60 miles an hour. In frigid fucking cold with a window open. And I'm like, where do I go? And then it finally clicked to me. I'm like, there's fucking underground heated parking like downtown in Chinatown. So I go there and like, it's a lot closer, but it's still like a 15 minute drive in that weather. And I'm, for lack of a better term, I'm freezing my nips off at this point. And I'm like, I have gloves on, I have fucking bundled up, but I am so cold, and I'm like, if I have to drive any farther, I will probably just die right now. And I don't think I'm exaggerating. It's that cold. Okay, maybe I am exaggerating, but I would not, like, I would maybe lose a pinky or something, and right, like a foot. So I finally make it to this parking garage, I park down there, and I'm just sitting there like a dumbass with a window open. Long story short, after 15 minutes, I can roll my window up, and then I go home. So that was the epic saga I was going to share last night, but, you know, we had to save it for 24 hours later, and here we are. I have a window that rolled all the way up. I had to leave today to do some work errands, but I made sure not to open a single window.
Don't open any windows. I mean, okay, I sincerely hope that the rest of your 2022 has no more dramas with open windows, because we're like we're like weeks out of like,
that's right, like how does this open shit window happen gate to me? I don't know, like,
talk about a pain.
This is like after like I get home and like it's all finished and I'm like telling my friends about it, I call my mom, I explain it, like I'm fine, but like after kind of deep debriefing with myself and my emotions, I come to, like, how the fuck does this shit always happen to me? This is the kind of story that, like, wouldn't happen to fucking anybody but myself, you know? And I'm just, well, I'm tired of this year. I'm ready for a reset.
ready for 2023. Well, thank you for sharing that harrowing tale. Keep your windows rolled up when it's cold. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's like minus 40. Usually we do a conversion to Fahrenheit, but when it gets that cold, it's about the same anyway. Like minus 40, I think, is where they match up on the scale. So we're glad you're here. We're glad you're not frozen. All your windows are shut currently. Great job. Mm-hmm. Keep it up. Luke, how about you? How are you doing?
I am well. This comes out Monday, so I guess that's the day after Christmas.
Boxing Day.
And so as of recording, I have one more day of day camps, and it's tiring because I happen to have to do like a lot of the behind-the-scenes work and also a lot of the in-front-of-the-scenes work, it turns out. So I'm doing all
What about
all
the between-the-scenes work?
Between-the-scenes.
Yeah,
still actually a lot of that too, actually. I would say that's where I get the most help, is between the scenes, but
okay.
But in front and behind. So I've just been kind of not like mentally worn out, but just ready for a break.
It's just, yeah. Great.
And it's not been minus, you know, ungodly here, but Nelson, it's cold for Nelson. Like, it's minus 17 today. Like, that's pretty cold for Nelson. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's so chilly, yeah.
That is cold, yeah.
And Nelson is not really designed to be that cold.
Like, it's humid cold, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, a lot of the houses are older, and the streets, like, I could barely get my car up the street today just because it was so cold that the streets are so slick because of the cold and how padded down the snow gets when it's that cold that, like, the plow trucks aren't even going sanding it because they'll get stuck. So right. It's just, like, basically it's a game. You gotta gun it up the hill from downtown and hope nobody pulls out in front of you the whole way and just, like, really, like, time your momentum properly on the steep parts.
This is why, like, mountain communities have, like, snowmobiles for winter transportation. Well, just like, no, thank you. We'll see you in the spring, car.
I mean, it was like a comedy last year. There was like a day where it snowed for 18 hours straight, and then it just kept snowing mostly for the next 3 days. That all the work trucks that went to go rescue the vehicles stuck got stuck. So the rescue trucks got stuck.
Isn't that a Cor Blend song?
Maybe.
Jacqueline would know. Yeah. She'd be able to answer that question.
But I am very much looking forward to, like, 10 days without working. And
nice.
And update from a cheer that you won't hear for several weeks. But I finished Fellowship of the Ring today.
Oh,
and nice. I have a bit of a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take or not. I think
it's a boring ass book.
I think the movie isn't just a little bit better than the book. I think it's a lot better than the book.
It's a lot better. Oh yeah.
So
Peter Jackson, great job.
I don't know. Like, yeah, like the visuals obviously, but the story, like every story change the movie made was better than the story version of it in the book. You know, there's like about 7 things that are exactly the same, and then mostly it's different and better in the movie.
Take that, Gerald.
Like, there is almost nothing about Saruman and Isengard in Fellowship of the Ring. There's like a little section, mm-hmm. and there's nothing about Uruk-hai or orcs from Isengard tailing them.
Oh, wow. Really?
Which is like the most tense part of the film other than Moria.
You have to also keep in mind, like, I 100% think the pacing of the books is terrible. I mean, I read it like a long time ago, so maybe I don't remember. And I think, like, the story's told in the movies is much better. But you also have to remember, like, the books, it's all just supposed to be, like, one thing, right?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't think he ever intended it to be split into 3 separate books, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's totally ahead of its time, you know, early, like, he wrote it in the late 30s, early 40s, published in the early 50s. Like, there's just nothing like it at that point, really. But it is, you know, it's funny. It's a modern palette with the movies out there now. I'm like, this is kind of underwhelming. In comparison, that was honestly, like, I liked it, but it was just not as exciting as the movies are.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's, well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Many weeks from now, you will hear the cheer that goes with this. So.
And it's more positive than this.
Put them together. Yeah. As for myself, I'm doing really well. My exams are finished. The semester is over. I'm looking forward to the winter semester coming up on the 9th of January, so I don't have to do anything for like 2 weeks.
Nice.
Except for I have to do some review because I'm taking another stats course and I forget everything I did last year. So I'm going to have to, like, at least look at the textbook and be like,
look at those Z scores.
Statistics, right. But I want to share something on the top and not for a something to cheer section because I don't want it to come out weeks and weeks and weeks after this. But actually, yesterday as of recording, I got to have a fun little video call with a friend of the show and friend in real life, Danica, and she walked me through making indigenous bannock or fry bread, and we just sort of chatted for an hour and cooked up some good food.
Greasy fry bread?
Some greasy, greasy fry bread, and it was, I don't know, it was just really nice. Danica is a lovely person. Luke, you have good taste in friends.
Thank you.
And, you know. Shout out, Danica.
It's a little bit of a backdoor compliment to yourself, I have to say. Not even backdoor, I'd say side door at the very least.
No, that's a main entrance. Yes. Yeah, Luke, you've got really great taste in friends. Everybody you're friends with is awesome.
I think the only thing I do better than friends is a podcast co-host.
Yeah. No, but that was really nice. And so, just shout out on air. Thanks, Danica. But yeah. So, shall we talk about some movie news that's making the waves? This is maybe from a couple weeks ago, or I don't really know, but I had a couple headlines that I want to share. And
some headlines headlined up.
Headlines headlined up. Three bits of movie news. the first one is our friend Ari Aster, friend of the show, friend in real life.
Nice.
Director of Midsommar and Hereditary has announced a new movie called Bo is Afraid, which used to be called Disappointment Boulevard. So I'm going to read you this this headline from Bloody Disgusting, published 1 week ago on December 13th. No, don't load an ad. No. Don't do it. I don't need an ad. Oh my God. This is terrible. Clickbait.
Why don't you just subtract it?
Good one.
Thanks.
So this film is described as an intimate, decades-long spanning portrait of one of the most successful entrepreneurs of all time. So I don't know if this is actually going to be a horror movie, but it has Joaquin Phoenix in it. And the poster reveal, I'm going to hold this picture up to my camera. This is the poster reveal. I don't know if you can see that. Okay. It's like a digitally de-aged Joaquin Phoenix. So I don't know if this is going to be like a Joaquin Phoenix is like he's going to play all the characters through the life and it's going to be a weird like Uncanny Valley thing. But what do we think about Disappointment Boulevard / Bo is Afraid?
I mean, he's two for two, so I'll watch it.
I'm sure I'll watch it. And I'd like to say we will assiduously decide if it is a horror movie or not to do for the podcast. But I'm afraid I can't actually say that in good faith.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Apparently, he said that his next movie would be, quote, a nightmare comedy.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
So you said it's about an entrepreneur?
There's a few to take a nightmare comedy.
It says a decade-spanning portrait of one of the most successful entrepreneurs of all time. There is no more information.
All right. Can we speculate which entrepreneur this is?
Sure. Yeah. What's your speculation?
Beau
Bridges. Brother of Jeff Bridges, that's my guess.
Mark Cuban. I don't know.
Okay. Or Luke, you got a wild guess?
When was the era again? What does it say?
Doesn't say, right? It just said decades
long?
It
doesn't say. It says decades long. It just has a picture. This guy's wearing like silk pajamas, it looks like, but that's not really era specific.
Silk. So that's at least like past, what, 3000 BC?
Yes. Okay. I'm I can narrow it down to the the Anthropocene era at least.
Oh, okay. I don't know. The Ramesses the Third.
Oh, maybe. Could be Ramesses the Third. We got more. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if this is gonna be a horror movie because I've seen other places say that Ari Aster is like, I don't actually have another horror movie in me. I have, like, there's no more ideas. So it might just be a weird movie. But A24 is producing it, and they've done a lot of cool horror movie stuff. So I guess we'll see. Maybe it's not horror.
Yeah. If it's not horror, I'll still watch it, I think. Like, Ari Aster's in my good books right now, you know?
Right. I mean, maybe it's a coming-of-age story. Alex, we know how much you love a coming-of-age story.
I love a coming-of-age story.
So then the next piece of story.
Better than its reverse.
Is... Go on.
Just better.
The going-of-age story.
Age of Coming story.
Oh, I thought it was like it's not the going of the ladies, it's the coming.
I thought you were gonna, never mind, no.
No?
I thought it was gonna be the aging of come, and that's even worse.
Yeah, there's a few ways to take that too. Like, are you taking samples and seeing how old the samples are? Or are you like samples at different times in a person's life? I don't know.
Decades long.
Oh, all right. Jeremy.
That's what it is. It's a biopic of Ron Jeremy.
I think Joaquin Phoenix could play a mean Ron Jeremy.
If he's not too busy making Joker films.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to segue us into the next piece of news that I found. There's a trailer this week called 65. Did either of you see this trailer?
No.
I saw the thumbnail on my YouTube.
So this trailer stars Adam Driver, a.k.a. Kylo Ren. And in the trailer, he's in a spaceship of some kind, crashes on a planet, and has to survive with, like, one little girl survivor, just him. And through the trailer, it's revealed in the trailer that he has crash landed 65 million years ago on Earth. So it's essentially Adam Driver versus the dinosaurs. And I think I'm excited for that one because I've wanted to see somebody do a dinosaur film that wasn't just a version of Jurassic Park or around the Jurassic Park.
It's not Chris Pratt putting up with his hands like this.
It's not just putting his hands up and, yeah, getting mauled instantly. So I just, you know, I want to see more dinosaur movies that aren't Jurassic Park again. And so Adam Driver, Planet of the Apes-ing it.
Adam Driver's great.
Yeah, going back in time.
Will this... Will this count as a horror movie?
It might. Maybe if the dinosaurs are scary.
Well, I mean...
Could be scared of dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs are scary.
I just want to know if he fixes his ship and flies away, and then, like, on his way, he just sort of bumps into an asteroid and, like, changes the orbit of the asteroid, and that's what causes the extinction event for the dinosaurs. That's my prediction. Mm. But maybe it's not a horror movie.
Actually, maybe this is just a working title. Maybe it's The Butterfly Effect 3.
Oh.
That'd be quite a twist.
What a twist, yeah. All right, so yes, maybe also not a horror movie, but it was slim pickings, and so I found another one. But this one, Luke, I think you might be interested in this one, especially because you have expressed your...
They're making Scream 7 already.
They're already making Scream 7.
New trailer for Scream 7 out.
Yeah. No, it was a title reveal for the fifth Insidious film, Insidious, Fear the Dark.
Fear the Dark or Fear of the Dark?
Just Fear the Dark.
Seasons Don't Fear the Dark?
Seasons Don't Fear the Dark. Yeah. But also directed by Patrick Wilson.
Wait, so there's an Insidious 4 already?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Last Key. Or The Last Keys. Okay.
What was Insidious 3? We haven't seen Insidious 3 yet, have we?
No, we've seen 1 and 2.
Hey, don't tempt me with a good time, Alex.
Okay. Man, I liked 1 and 2.
Yeah. I'm picking again soon.
That's true. Yeah, you are picking for the... well, I don't know. This won't be in the right order, but your turn's coming up again.
Coming up again.
So yeah, in Five Idiots, what do you think?
Well, I think I mentioned at one point when we were talking about any franchises that haven't lost their mojo yet. I think I brought up Insidious as... I think all four movies are better than average. I think the first one is definitely the best, but I think all the sequels have merit. And I remember feeling like the third and the fourth are kind of like more of the same, but really high, well produced, high quality, more of the same. Mm-hmm. In Insidious 3, the protagonist is like a teenage girl who's kind of primarily haunted. And then in the fourth one, it's kind of the Elaine? No, that's not her name.
Elise.
Right. It's kind of like her origin story, how she got the powers.
Okay.
Like it's like her childhood home and all that.
So are Patrick Wilson and Rose Byrne in 3 or 4? No. Or they stepped away? Okay.
So they're back in 5.
So Insidious 3 is how Elise meets Tucker and Specs and how they meet each other. It's kind of like their first case together.
Okay.
And then the fourth one, it's just a young Elise. And then I think she grows up a bit. I can't remember exactly. It's a little hazy. I only saw it once when it came out, like in 2018. And yeah, I mean, are they like revolutionary movies? No, but they're entertaining and they're worth the time.
Absolutely.
And I think they'd certainly be worth us talking about. And so the fifth one coming out with the original cast. And is Ty Simpkins not back as a college student, I think?
Yes. Yeah. One? Yeah. Dalton is all grown up. He's off at college. But wouldn't you know it? I bet he's still haunted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's fun that it's coming back full circle too, and now all those kids will be like grown up, so that could be like a really fun element too, is having that little baby be, I mean, she'd be like 12 or 13 now, right? So
yeah. Maybe McKenna Grace or Madeline McGraw will be back. Yeah. What about you, Alex? Excited for an Insidious? Least indifferent.
Yeah, like I think because I haven't seen 3 or 4 yet. That's way too far out in the future to think about. Number 5? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Getting some premature...
Insidimation.
Egoing-lation here. But...
Insidimation?
You know, we haven't done, like, Insidious... Like, when did we do Insidious 2? It feels like it's been a long time, right?
I was still in Calgary when we did Insidious 2. So it's been over a year.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
So, you know, like... You know how we... Like, at least myself, I sometimes get burnt out if we watch, like, a series too quickly. Don't want to point any fingers, but you know, Annabelle.
That was equally our faults. We all did that.
That's true. That was all our faults. We're to blame. But you know, because we haven't done an Insidious movie in a long time. Like, I would be super down to watch a third Insidious movie in the near future, if that's something that we choose. And
sure.
If we do watch a third Insidious movie, that brings me one step closer to Insidious 5 and maybe gets me a little bit more excited for this announcement.
Fair enough.
But right now I'm like, I haven't watched 3 or 4 yet, so I can't say if I'm excited or not.
That's fair. We'll have to... I've been toying with the idea of doing a catch-up month or a continuation month where we just pick, like, installations in long-standing series that we haven't... There's your Saws. There's your Insidiouses and...
Nightmare on Elm Street. We did all the Conjuring,
but Nightmare on Elm Street. Movies that you haven't watched yet and need to watch. Annihilation.
Yeah, that's a continuation of the Alex Garland cinematic universe.
There you go.
Right. It's AGCU.
All right, yes. We all have deficits in our movie watching catalogs. But, yeah.
All right.
Well, that's all I got for movie news. So why don't we talk about a movie? So. This is our last pick for December. Alex, Juan, what did you pick for us to close out the month and the year, in fact, 2022? Oh, wow.
Is this the last December?
It's the last December.
Hey, happy Boxing Day, everybody.
Happy Boxing Day.
Yeah, so I picked 2022's surprise, Fresh. Honestly, the main reason I picked this one is Billy, I know you had hinted heavily that you had wanted someone to choose Smile because you really wanted to talk about it.
I really do, but it's nowhere to stream right now.
But the reason I did not pick that and I picked this is because I didn't want to watch a movie that I watched already again after watching. Because, you know, we did Barbarian, then we did X. And I was like, you know what? I want to watch something that I actually haven't seen yet.
Fair enough.
And Fresh was fresh. I haven't seen it yet. So that's the biggest reason I picked it. And I didn't know very much about it, but it looked like it had decent ratings. Yeah, and Bucky was in it, so I picked it.
Bucky, Sebastian Stan himself was in it. Yeah, so you picked Fresh. I had heard about this movie. This was from earlier in the year. I think it came out in the first half of 2022. I don't know the exact date. And it was one that a lot of people were talking about at the time. I remember the horror social media pages kind of blowing up about it and talking about Sebastian Stan's performance. Daisy Edgar Jones being in it, and I was intrigued. It was not what I thought it was going into it. I thought that this movie was going to be the two of them were somehow like teammates. They're on the same side of this cannibalistic theme, but we'll talk about that after the trailer.
So did you know it was a cannibalistic theme?
I knew there was something around cannibalism. I knew there was like, yeah, it was... I thought it was like a Hannibal Lecter, but I thought it was the two of them together, and that's not the case. But I'll save it all for after the trailer, but I really enjoyed this one. I cannot wait to talk about it. Luke, what did you know going in?
I knew that the Winter Soldier was in this movie somehow. That was it.
Really? That was all? Nothing else? Shit, cool. Okay, well, let me do our information here. Good, lots of foley of papers wrestling. We're going to spoil this movie. Spoiler, it's about cannibalism. After the trailer, we're going to talk about it more, but check out doesthedogdie.com. The list that I read off there includes a lot of things, but there's going to be trigger warnings for gaslighting, stalking, abuse, drugging people, someone being restrained, general mutilation, cannibalism, big one for cannibalism, everyone, amputation, a head gets squashed, there's torture, there's kidnapping, there's cheating on your partner, there's a lot of blood, of course, there's a dick pic, and someone gets their dick bit off. No spoilers as to who, but let's watch the trailer.
Is it the character with the dick that gets their dick bit off?
I'll never say. Yeah, so let's go into the trailer. Man, I can't wait to talk about this movie, and we'll be right back.
The women in our parents' generation,
they were more into femininity. You know what I mean? Because I think you would just look great in a dress. If you were...
Pretty much done, actually, thank you.
If it's cool, I'm just going to snag these leftovers.
I want to know how you do it, Molly.
Do what?
Dating people.
No. You do not need a man, okay?
So don't play the games. Just be you, straight out the gate.
Do you live around here? Because I live on aisle 6.
That was terrible.
Was kind of terrible.
What's his Instagram? I want to stalk a little bit.
He doesn't have one.
Say what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. See, that's shady.
Let's play a game. Tell me something you don't want me to know.
I hate this.
Okay.
Put all our hopes in finding happiness through someone else.
Yeah.
Girl, you are all digmatized and I haven't even seen this dude.
What's going on?
I'm going to tell you, but you're going to freak out.
No, this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's happening. No games. Know what you wanted? It's about giving. Giving yourself over to somebody. Becoming one forever. That's love. Forget this.
It's a straight girl's fantasy come true, right?
Okay, Alex. This is another... I gotta flip between two tabs.
You do such work for this show.
Thanks, I try. I'm also watching the World Cup at the same time, so...
Who's playing?
Canada. Canada and Croatia. Ooh, yeah.
Go Canada. Okay, anyway, yeah. Fresh.
Fresh is a 2022 American black comedy horror thriller film directed by Mimi Cave in her directorial debut from a screenplay by Lauren Kane. Mm-hmm. The film stars Daisy Edgar Jones and Sebastian Stan. Fresh follows Noah, who meets the alluring Steve at a grocery store and, given her frustration with dating apps, takes a chance and gives him her number.
That's where the synopsis ends.
Yep.
Oh, it's a dating boy. It is a dating movie. Especially if you watch the first 30 minutes and then turn it off, you would think this is a rom-com. All right, so the budget for this movie was between $15 and $20 million. There was no box office information that I could find, but Rotten Tomatoes has this listed at an 81%, and IMDb lists it at a 6.7. Alex, tell us your first impressions about Fresh. Your fresh thoughts.
My fresh thoughts. I thought this was fun. This was a fun movie. Lots of modern commentary on modern dating, which is both relevant and humorous. And thought this was a nice, strong feminist movie as well. And then I didn't know it was about cannibalism. I just thought it was like dating. So I guess I know how to pick the cannibalistic movies.
Sure do.
I mean, the first 30 minutes was like, it was fun. It's a rom-com. And then it's funny because you don't actually have the cold open till like 30 minutes in.
It's so long. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the opening credits or whatever.
The title card.
Yeah.
The title card. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when the movie actually feels like it starts. But I thought the journey getting to it was like quite a while to get to it. But it wasn't like long or boring. It was like, it was a fun ride. And then when you get there, I'm like, oh, I want to keep knowing. I got to keep watching. I need to know what happens. And then the last like act is just fucking bananas.
So bananas.
It's so crazy.
So crazy.
But it was a fun movie and I had a really good time watching it and I enjoyed all the modern commentary behind it.
Mm-hmm. Luke Mason, give us your first thoughts.
Yeah, this movie was pretty entertaining. I think the performances were the standout. The acting was great. The cinematography was really interesting too because it changed a lot. There were a lot of shots that were very different from most of the standard shots of the film. So there's like a lot of zoom ins, a lot of like winding arounds, a lot of like kind of messing with our perception, which I thought was a really interesting technical move. The setting was cool. That house was really like, it was modern, I guess, in a sense of like, it kind of looked like an IKEA house almost.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of that house in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay, sure.
So yeah, it felt like very like almost you assembled this house out of an IKEA, which I thought was kind of funny. There were definitely like very tense parts of it. And there were a lot of things that I found myself feeling tense and the horror genre creeping in. And then it was like immediately undercut by Sebastian Stan's character.
Such a performance. Oh my God.
Yeah. I definitely thought it was funny and like I enjoyed it. It was entertained. I think this movie, a different version of this movie, is much scarier than this one is.
Yes.
Especially considering what it's about. But that doesn't mean I liked how Noah figured out how to beat Steve. I liked how she kind of was able to, you know, it's so funny. In other cannibal movies or cannibalism, you're like, oh, I had to eat people to stay alive.
Yeah.
And so did Noah, but for a different reason.
For a different reason, yeah. Exactly.
So, like, there was, like, funny little tropes like that throughout this film.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all the auxiliary characters were great, like Molly and even that other lady, Anne. They just played a good role. I felt like the script was maybe a little underdeveloped. Like, I think that there were some of these kind of loose strands, like what is it with Anne and Steve and their family? We kind of didn't get any resolution on that. Mm-hmm. And other than she helps Anne, but she also was a victim, so what happened there? Like, it felt like this was maybe, in a sense, this could be a first season of a TV show where we explore the world building a bit more. And so I don't want to call it undercooked because it was a well-made film, but it did have these
and the food was very well cooked. Yeah. The food was
It was significantly less gross than Raw, so I appreciated that.
Yes, yep.
But, like, I don't know. I felt like the script or the director put in some of these garden paths that didn't really, like, I didn't really, there was all of this, like, intrigue on the side of this other character who might come and help out at some point. But that he just shows up and then leaves.
It's like, no way. Like,
okay. I mean, that was funny because it was like, oh, yeah, you're in a horror movie. Get out of there. So it was funny, but I guess that was like for a joke, which whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. I guess the only part of it that were I to put on my scrutiny eye, I don't really know how someone like Steve could be this kind of criminal. And get away with it for as long as he did. He's just a little too lackadaisical, a little too goofy. And I think people like that ultimately slip up somewhere. Obviously, well, he did.
Yeah.
With Noah, but like it looked like he'd had at least 15 to 20 victims before.
Sure.
And I just was like, I don't know if all of these people around the world who buy human meat could trust such a almost unhinged person to be like this linchpin in their marketing scheme. But other than that, it was a fine movie.
Fair. Yeah.
Had horror elements, but I would still call this much more a dark comedy.
Agreed.
Than a horror film.
Definitely wasn't that scary, for sure.
No.
No, there was no jump scares. There was not a lot of like creeping dread. I think for me the biggest part of horror that I felt was the conflict you feel when they're making this food, which is human meat, and they're plating it and they're cooking it in such a gourmet style, and they're shooting it like you would shoot a Michelin star chef food documentary. The food was beautiful. It looked gorgeous, and you're just sitting there being like, damn, that looks good. And then you're like, wait a minute, that's like human meat that is what it's being made out of. This is a cannibal. This man is deranged. This man is a psychopath beyond all psychopath levels. And it just sort of that conflict where you're just like, man, that pasta looks good. Wait a minute. No, it doesn't. I can't say it looks good. That's bad. Like, I can't do that. So like I had that conflict. Alex, you mentioned that this cold open is like, 30 minutes of the movie before we even get the name of the film, which I will admit, when I saw the runtime of this movie, it was an hour and 55 minutes. I was like, God, fucking hell, this is going to be such a long movie. And I was engaged for the whole time. It did not feel like an almost 2-hour movie. I've watched shorter movies that have felt longer than this one. And it was just really fun. I think Daisy Edgar Jones did an amazing job. Sebastian Stan, in addition to Annihilation, I've never seen American Psycho, but I feel like Sebastian Stan is channeling Christian Bale's character in that, from what I know on the internet. I don't know. Luke, you're a white guy millennial. Have you seen American Psycho?
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I right? Is that a right assessment?
It's been a while. I think
Steve is a lot more personable than...
He's more modern, yeah. Okay. There's like that kind of dot-com era feel to Christian Bale's character. It's a lot... There's like more voiceover.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing. He's a little more over the top.
Who is?
Christian Bale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Okay, well, anyway, that's what the vibe I got was just, like, the way Sebastian Stan played this guy. Yeah, he was very lackadaisical. He knew what he was about, and he was very competent at it, and he got sloppy with Noah, and I think that I love the reflection of how he lured her in and brought her defenses down and spent that time being charming and silly and goofy is ultimately how she turns it on him, where she gets into his good graces again. She makes him drop his guard when she's a captive, and she is able to escape that way. I don't know,
it was like a little more than that too, right? It wasn't just like, oh, I flipped it on you. It's like, because when they start meeting for the first time, she's just like, I hate dating. She hates everything about, like, the small talk, meeting someone new and all that. And then she has to, like, ploy those strategies. She has to date Steve again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Which, you know, was nice.
It was good. I
it was nice.
It was nice. And, like, they had really, really good on-screen chemistry. Like, the whole first hour dating show part of this movie, the characters click so well. They're so funny together. They've got this sort of millennials dating vibe where they're fed up with online dating and they just click. And I thought that it made the switch into when she's now a captive and she's going to be slowly butchered alive to be sold to the 1% of the 1%, as he said, who are the people who buy human meat. I just think that it, not a reflection, but the twist works really well because they are such a good couple in the first, you know, third of this film. And yeah, what you said, Luke, all the surrounding characters were good. Yeah, I have questions about what Anne was up to. I don't understand how she's, like, complacent in this human meat black market selling thing to the point where she seems to have a large hand in it. But when she finds out that Steve cheated on her, that's where she draws the line. And that's where she starts to get suspicious.
I wonder if Anne was, like, Noah. Was Noah, like, maybe 5-6 years ago? Did the exact same thing, got captive, got her leg chopped off, and then Steve was like, oh, you know what? I actually love this. I love Anne. Let's get married and have kids. Mm-hmm. And then, except Anne maybe didn't have the motive for eating meat was different. Wasn't like, oh, I want to trick him and escape. It's like, oh, I want to actually, like, try it out. Oh, it's actually good. I like it. Let me get in on this industry. And then, you know, they move to the burbs. They have a couple
nice
kids.
House.
And
two and nice then, houses.
And then Steve gets bored and starts looking for, starts cheating on her. And then she's like, I'm already in this industry and makes me a lot of money and I still like eating meat, but fuck Steve, you know?
Yeah. Where is she going to go from here? I guess she doesn't make it out of this movie anyway, so we don't need to know what happens to Anne next because she gets bashed to death. But yeah, that makes sense. Like, he's a bored husband who is going to step out, I guess, and she doesn't want her way of life to go away. So, Luke, you didn't know this was a cannibal movie at all, right? What was your take on the matter-of-factness when he's drugged her, she wakes up, and he's just like, well, I'm going to cut you up and sell you for meat and sell your hair? What was your reaction to that scene?
Well, I wondered, like, it was kind of a thought throughout the film, but I was like, is this, I guess, maybe there is this thing that exists in the world? Like, I mean, probably.
Probably. Human trafficking exists.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of sucky that this is a thing that people do. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was like, oh, this is okay. Maybe because I didn't know anything about this movie, I was, like, immediately suspicious of Steve. He was,
sure.
I saw right through his goofy little facade.
Yeah.
And I was, like, a little surprised Noah didn't. You know, I was like, Molly is so right about this. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So, you know, she had her rose colored or winter soldier colored glasses on, I suppose. So, yeah, like, actually that scene where he had her captive, I felt like chilled, like, okay, this is going to be a prisoner type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that first scene, he just undercut the tension by his personality. And his style, you know, he was just like, oh, he was almost kind of Justin Long-esque from Barbarian, You know, like he just was so, it, his character felt so mismatched to the context and the plot, you know, in an entertaining way. It was funny. But I was like, oh, like, you're obviously going to get, like, he's psychopathic, but he seemed to lack a kind of killer instinct, I guess. Maybe that's like a weird way to put it because he's a killer. But he just left the door way too wide open to be beaten by someone like Noah, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like a true psychopath has a stronger survival instinct than Steve had in this film.
Yeah.
And I got that even from that first scene. But again, I mean, as far as the movie goes, it was really entertaining.
I mean...
Go ahead, Alex.
When you look at like history with like serial killers and like all that stuff, they all eventually get caught because they make a mistake, right? Mm. I don't feel like I think you're idealizing what the perfect serial killer psychopath would be. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like someone that never makes a mistake, and if there are ones that exist out there, they haven't been caught, so we wouldn't know.
Yeah, right. That's true. They're all so hidden.
Yeah, but then in terms of like kind of. I did find this movie to be kind of interesting that we watched in the same month as Barbarian, because the fact that we watched Barbarian first.
Yeah.
Because with Barbarian, when they meet at the start of the movie, it's just like red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag, don't trust him, don't trust him, don't trust him. And turns out he was fine the whole time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Whereas, you know, in this movie, it's like, okay, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. And I knew he wasn't fine, but there was like a little bit of me. It was like, what if he is fine, actually?
Yeah, what if he's fine?
And they're just flipping it again like Barbarian, which is why, like, I thought it was nice that I saw Barbarian before I saw Fresh. And it gave me like a little bit, like, of the tiniest bit of doubt that maybe he's not all that bad. Yeah. And then you find out he is bad and you're like, okay.
It's super bad. And yeah, I think, Luke, in the version of this movie that is a TV show, there is a couple episodes that can be devoted to, you know, maybe times when he doesn't, you know, fuck up and doesn't make this mistake, you know, because he has had all these victims in the past. He's had like 15 victims. And so with success breeds arrogance, and, you know, he gets an inflated ego, and maybe hubris enters the thing, and he doesn't feel like he can fail.
He forgets what he's doing to Noah somehow.
Right? Like he seems to have this huge disconnect between what he is doing, which is selling her meat for people, and also still trying to like flirt with her and be nice to her, and we've seen that there are other women that he's holding captive. There's this woman Penny who is in the room next to Noah, and then there's a girl Melissa, a woman Melissa farther down, who seems to have been there for longer than either of them, and he doesn't show this level of interest in either of them. But yeah, so you know, maybe we don't get the story of all the times it goes well because we don't want to see him win. We don't want to see the bad guy win. We want to see the bad guy lose. And the story where his demise is set up starts with Noah. And so that's what we get for the movie. And so I could buy his sort of like, I've been doing this for years. I'm good at whatever I do. The money is great. I haven't been caught so far. I don't think I'll be caught yet. And you take a little bit more risks as you go on. Even though that's not what you should do. You should absolutely not take risks at all, but that's, you know, that's not human nature. Don't do the same thing over and over again because you would be boring, you know?
Well, and then it seems like he specifically targets women that don't have a lot of connections in that area. Maybe they're estranged from their family. They don't have a lot of friends. So, and then it turns out Noah did have a friend that really looked out for her. And that's what kind of got, that was his first mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's my best friend. You'd really like her. It's like, oh, she has a best friend that she talks and texts all the time. Maybe Noah probably isn't the right victim, but he slipped up that way.
Yeah, but right? He should have been like, okay, well, cool. I don't want to date you anymore. Break up. Move on to another victim who doesn't have that thread that could go to it. But
yeah. Also, I loved the millennial stalking.
Yeah.
Like just Google searching someone's name, reverse imaging searching something. Oh, he doesn't have any social media. That's a fucking red flag right there.
No Instagram. Yeah. And I thought you would have mentioned this by now, Alex, but I have definitely noticed since you brought it up all the way back in Piwacket, the sort of text chain thing.
Mm.
Great texting in this movie. Lots of previous texts. Yep. It's all still up there. Just love to see it. You know, his performance wasn't the only lackadaisical vibe, I thought. I thought that Penny and Noah, once they're in this situation, they're remarkably calm about that. And I don't know, is that because they're drugged, or is that because there's no use to, like, wailing and gnashing their teeth after a certain point? But it really felt like Penny, when we introduced her, she's just like, well, yep, I'm here. I guess I'm just going to get eaten slowly. And
stages of grief.
What the fuck? Yeah. I guess so.
The acceptance stage.
I guess so.
You kind of see the progression between the three of them, right? Like, mm-hmm. like we get introduced to Melissa last, but Melissa has, like, lost her mind, starts singing, and eventually I assume she dies and gets replaced by
Molly.
Molly, yeah. And so then Penny's at that acceptance stage, and when Penny was at that acceptance stage, that's when Noah was, like, freaking out. Mm. And then after the first date, I feel like Noah's at that acceptance stage, and Penny's about to, like, she sounded so defeated at that point, instead mm-hmm. of, like, more playful than before. So it's just, like, a slow progression down the line of, like, yeah, exactly what Luke said, the stages of grief or whatever.
And it would just, like, break your mind. Like, at one point, your mind would just not be able to process it. Like, you just fucking snap, I guess. And I guess that's what happened to Melissa.
Well, I think as with Noah, we can just chalk it up to it's part of her plan. Like, she was playing the long game on Steve after she decided to not just lash out and act out the whole time, right?
Right. Like,
that didn't work.
Cost her an ass.
Yeah, which she was remarkably good at walking and sitting after that.
Okay, so my Google search bar was a little bit fucked up from this movie, because I was writing, like, how long does it take to recover from butt surgery? Can you walk without a butt? Why? Yeah. I couldn't find any answer about it, but I was just like, how? What is happening that he took her butt?
These are the burning questions that come out of this podcast.
I want to know, damn it. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're a doctor, can you walk around without a butt? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, also, how much of the butt was taken off, right? Was it just the top part? Was it the most whole cheek? Part?
Yeah. Was it both cheeks?
Was it both? Yeah.
I don't know. I did, when we got introduced to Anne, his wife, because Molly, you know, finds his house number, figures out where it is, goes to visit her. When she sat down, there's a beautiful little bit of acting where she pulls her pant leg up to cross her legs, and I was like, oh damn, she definitely only has one leg and she is a previous victim, or maybe I was hoping to learn more about, like, did she lose her leg before? Was she a previous victim who fell in love with Steve? Did she go to school, the veterinary school in France, and move to America after? Like, what's her deal? And I would have liked to know more about Anne. But Luke, said earlier that you think that she was maybe a previous victim that became a wife.
That was me.
Oh, that was you, Alex. Oh, okay, yeah. Alex. Alex said it then.
Her.
And
Black. Yeah.
That's part of the prequel trilogy that we're not. I don't know if we'll get.
Ooh.
Pre-fresh.
Yeah, because there's fresh. The only way you can do sequels is if you go fresher or freshest. Like, what's a prequel? Yeah.
Ask George Lucas, I guess.
And then, like, the the handyman at the very end, when he goes to clean up the body, where did he go?
Yeah, he's just like, I'm out of here.
Surely he would have heard Anne's skull being bashed in. They weren't that far away.
Yeah. Maybe he was listening to Don't Fear the Reaper on a van radio really loud and couldn't, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. Yeah, I was a little surprised, actually, in that scene at their house, that the glaring mistake Molly made, because she'd been so, like, conscientious the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really think Steve is, if you even have a suspicion that he's what you think he is, and he's at least a kidnapper, and he might have Noah's phone on him, why would you call it while he's still between you and the door? Like, yeah. I just couldn't believe that mistake on her. I mean, I get it for the plot. Mm-hmm. But I just, as far as Molly's concerned, I was like, that feels really out of place of her character.
Well,
Like, no, wait till you're out on the porch at the very least, and you can run.
Mm-hmm.
If
give yourself a chance.
Yeah. And, like, okay, yeah, she had the idea in a second and didn't think about it. Okay, fair enough. But, like, I don't know. I was like, wow, that seems really different from how careful and thoughtful you've been the rest of the film.
But also, Steve, you know, this isn't the first time you've done that. You've obviously pulled this, like, I'll text from the person's phone so they're not suspicious. You don't change the ringtone. You don't put that shit on silent. Like, why is that thing on full volume ringer? Like, my guy.
We've established his arrogance.
That's true. Yeah. He doesn't think he can get caught, but, you know.
He's just like the Empire in Andor.
Nobody's listening.
He's too arrogant.
Nobody's listening. Yeah. What a good show.
I don't get that reference.
Watch Andor. I'll watch Andor.
I watched the first episode and I was fucking bored. I'll be real.
All right. Well,
yeah.
I watched it twice. It's the only Star Wars show I've watched twice. Okay. So the whole middle section of the movie is like a combination of Noah coming to terms with her captor, figuring out stuff, observing things, mixed with these shots of food being prepared. Again, very disturbingly, beautifully presented. Yeah, do we have anything to say about Act Two, like kind of the rising tension?
I mean, I guess the most noticeable part of the second act was how little tension I felt in a movie where it felt like this is where the tension was supposed to be rising. You know, and I think that was probably the acting of the two leads. But it was just funny. Like, the whole second act was just like a joke. They were playful. They were being silly. Obviously, it was all a ploy on Noah's part, and it was this just kind of glaring blind spot on Steve's part. That, so, like, the jokes themselves were kind of funny, but the meta context of it all was just absurd. So it was just, I don't know. Like, I didn't even come close to feeling real tension ever in it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it wasn't until, like, Noah actually went to the bathroom. I was like, oh, okay, now something's going to happen, because she's not going to do anything until she's got him in an extremely vulnerable position. And so leading up to that, at the table, the flirting, the questions, the kind of keeping him off kilter, like, honestly, that was, it was like a modern sitcom. It felt like.
Rest for last.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt again like a rom-com. It felt like that more of the getting to know you phase, and Noah handled herself very well in a situation I don't think I could ever imagine myself getting through. Like, there's no way. I guess, you know, you do extreme things to survive, even if that means eating human food food made from humans. You know, she waits for her moment to strike, and she gets him vulnerable and catches him literally with his pants down. I like that it wasn't just a dick bite that she goes for, because, oh boy, she bites his dick. Do we think it's all the way off, or just, like, hurts it a lot?
I think it hurts. Love hurts, you know?
Love hurts. But she also, like, takes a bunch of toothpaste or shaving cream from the bathroom and, like, smears it in his face to just give herself all the advantage that she possibly can have. I thought that was,
but you'll notice she
great.
Like, she didn't grab a knife on her way downstairs. Like, we already established it right there. She could have grabbed like four knives and still made it downstairs on time. You know,
she could have just like Wolverine clawed like a bunch of steak knives and been fine.
Maybe she didn't think he'd get out.
Yeah, maybe. Because what'd she do? She puts her restraints strap over the door. Yeah.
Wrist restraint.
Yeah, and his dick is half bitten off, too. Like, I honestly, like, the whole last bit of that movie, I was surprised Steve was still moving.
Yeah, he's like, well, rage fuels you, I guess.
Anger is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, he's been stabbed, he's been limp, he's been everything. He's got toothpaste in his eyes.
Yeah, he's got toothpaste in his eyes. And then
he's feeling blissful.
Aww. So, okay, so before that happens, before that whole thing happens, we get the biggest pun of the movie, which, Luke, your Discord name says that, where he serves her breast meat, and she does the whole, haha, you saved the breast for last. Very funny joke. Everyone laughed. We are meant to understand that that is Molly's breast, right? Like, that seems like that's what it was.
Really?
Really?
Why?
I don't think so.
You didn't notice it? Because anytime we see Molly, she's like, she's holding her chest closed. She looks like she's favoring one side because she's in pain.
Oh, maybe.
And
possible.
You know, we see Noah, she's like holding her wound where her ass was removed.
Still I don't pick up on these things.
Stupid sentence. Okay,
I look at someone's face, Billy.
Honestly,
I mean, it's body language.
I was trying to avoid like thinking about or actually watching like the body disfigurement of this film because mm-hmm. Even though it was a huge part of the plot, it really wasn't the point of the movie, and it is gross. You know, like it's just disgusting. So I didn't really look at that kind of stuff unless it was like shoved in your face.
Okay. Honestly, the grossest part of this movie was actually when you find out that he's harvesting and selling human meat, and then there's kind of that montage of like meat being sawed off, he's like cutting off things like little slice of salami, he's like grinding stuff in like a meat grinder. That was actually the grossest part, and obviously it's like it's probably animal meat of some kind, but with the context this is like
all
a human.
Of the human body parts are just, you know,
unless
props and prosthetics, and then the meat itself is probably pork.
Probably pork,
or beef.
Yeah. Or human.
Or human.
No,
I mean,
humans were no humans. In this film.
I mean, yeah, that whole scene where we find out that he's doing this selling this meat side business, when he has the whole leg and he's butchering it. Yeah, like a different movie would have made it way gorier. We would have seen more active surgery, would have seen like horrifying stuff. And for the premise of this movie being people are having their body parts surgically removed, it was pretty bloodless until the very end.
For lack of a better term, he was a professional, right? He's not he's like, I'm cauterizing your butt so it's not going to bleed everywhere and make a mess. Like, I want it to be fresh. And like, he was a surgeon, right? Like, if you go to a hospital and you see someone getting amputated with surgery, like, I'm sure they have, like, techniques where it doesn't, like, it's not like the medieval times where it's just, like...
it's just, like, spraying blood everywhere.
Right? Like they actually, like, do things to, like, minimize pain and... Because he, like, I don't think... Like, he mentioned, like, try not to be scared or whatever, or, like, calm, relax, because, like, fear or whatever makes the meat go bad. So, obviously, he doesn't want them to be in pain as much. He gives them painkillers, like... He was a professional.
He was a professional.
It's not like Leatherface and a chainsaw. He's actually trying to he's selling to really rich people. You want good packaging. You don't want, you know, little bits of hair in your meat. It's got to be clean and sterilized and everything.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, he was paid to do a job, and boy, he did it well, even though that was a horrible job.
I think his biggest mistake was exposing his bare dick to someone he'd kept prisoner.
Was that the biggest one?
That's my, most proximately physical mistake, yes. Because, like, obviously he had removed all weapons from her, but he forgot about teeth.
Yeah, forgot about the teeth.
We should watch that movie, huh?
We definitely should watch Teeth sometime.
Definitely don't want to watch Teeth.
It's on the list.
That might be the first one that if we're required to watch it, I'll just pretend like I did.
Oh, okay. Well, way to tip your hand. Way to expose your. We'll have Danica on it.
Yeah, Danica can play the part of Luke on that show.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, he's a professional. What a guy. What a good guy. Luke, did you mention, the soundtrack or the music of this movie? I thought it was an amazing soundtrack. I really liked it. And that was part of what made me off kilter, because it wasn't like stereotypical horror movie music that was just like long extended strings and big loud crescendos and jump scares and stuff. It was just like, oh, this is a cool song. Music. I love this music. I love this song. And of course, it's like all themed to the whole vibe of the movie being cannibalism. Like, I don't know what the actual title is, but Take Another Little Piece of My Heart. I don't know if that what the full title is, but you know, all the little nods to it fit very well. It just was very fun. It was a fun movie. Probably the most fun movie about people being harvested for their meat that I've ever seen. And I don't care who knows.
Yeah, it had a levity that Cannibal Holocaust doesn't.
Ah, way to spoil what we're watching next week, Luke. I feel like that one's low on the list.
I like the little side story with Paul, the bartender, And, you know, he was the smartest one in this movie. He hears gunshots and like, yeah, I'm leaving.
I've seen this movie. I'm out of here. You're right. The expectation is this person comes to try to save the day and they end up dying for it. I think Glenn Howerton in Strangers comes to mind where he, you know, he sees what's up. He dies. And Paul's just like, maybe it's a bit of a cowardly move, but also you don't really know what's out there. You don't know what to expect. Well, you are not prepared to face a gunshot.
I'm a little surprised he didn't get a couple buddies to come with him at the very least out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, three or four of them be like, okay, my friend is legitimately not responding to texts. Her phone is in the middle of nowhere. She had talked about how this was a weird situation and she was looking for her friend who also seems to be missing. Like, all mm-hmm. these pieces would have added up to me at the very least to bring out a crew.
Yeah. Bring out a couple people. Yeah.
You know, and like, I don't know, maybe at the moment where it's that weird, you call the police.
I can see why he didn't call the police, though. Like, I can absolutely see why Paul, a black man, is not, the first thing is not, I'm going to call the police because I need help just with all the tensions between the police and the black community. I totally bought that it wasn't on his radar because he's like, nah, just looks bad. I don't know what I'm going to get into. It's a variable that historically doesn't play out well for people who look like me. So, yeah, but why don't you bring friends, Paul? Bring, like, your buddy. Find it. You got a text chain. I'm sure you got a text chat with a bunch of guys from a fantasy football league. Bring them along. See who's got their Saturday free. All right. Well, Alex, you have final thoughts about Frisch? Yeah.
I think, like, the main point of this movie was kind of the modern dating stuff.
Which that's good.
Was very entertaining, I thought. Like, you know, the movie opens up with Noah on a date with this... with Chad.
Fucking Chad.
Couldn't have picked a better name than Chad. And he's just like a dick, right? And she gets kind of...
Well, he was even worse than a dick. He was boring.
He was boring and a dick, and he cared more about his scarf than he did about her. That actually, I wanted to ask either of you, feel free to not share anything you don't want to, but like, I have had zero experience with like that type of online dating. Is that something that either of you are familiar with at all? Or because it seems like such a strange world to me. I've never been in that
situation. Meeting someone online?
No, I'm not meeting someone online. I've like both people I'm dating I met online. But I mean like with Tinder and dating apps and like the whole...
Those are not dating apps, Billy.
What are they?
They're booty call apps.
Oh.
Yeah. Bone apps. Go on Tinder for a date.
Bone apps a tea.
Bone apps a tea.
Bone absentee. All right. Well, I don't know. I'm a novice. I've never been in that realm. Do you use dating apps? I don't know.
I mean, my experience with them is that they're kind of old news now in a way.
Like, oh, really?
Even if you match with someone, you probably won't even talk to them.
Yeah. Oh. You might get the occasional dick pic. That's really what they're for, maybe.
I also think the underlying algorithms and statistics are very different for men and women on those things.
Sure.
You know, so.
Yeah.
There's data and social science to go into behind them. I think when they came out, they're like revolutionary for people because it was like it removed a lot of the uncertainty.
It removed the grocery store.
Yeah, well, it removed the uncertainty around what somebody else was there for, right? Previous to dating apps, there is a kind of uncertainty around like what is this person even looking for in life right now. Whereas if you have a profile on a dating app, it kind of removes that ambiguity, you know, to the point where if someone says, I'm just here for friends, it's like a joke. <You know? laughs> It's like, oh, this is the app you go to make friends, is it? But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think more than anything, they've just lost their charm or allure. So
there's so many of them now, too.
They're just like, there, no, like... they're not really depended on anymore, I think, for true love or even true boning, right? It's just kind of like it's if something works out from it, it's a unexpected surprise, really dependent on.
I also think it's like a nice self-esteem boost sometimes, you know? It's like, oh, someone is interested.
Somebody likes
me. And now we're not going to talk, you know? And it's really nice for my self-esteem.
Another psychological benefit weirdly. I mean, it loses it if you think about it, but it does take the sting out of rejection a little bit, because you don't actually, you're not there to experience the rejection. Mm. You know, all the time someone swipes left on you, you don't know.
Right, that's fair. All you have to worry about is ghosting, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
But that can happen in real life, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but meeting at a grocery store, that's what's up.
Those cotton candy grapes seemed like a good trick. Have you had those
grapes? Have you had those before?
I have. Yeah. I have. They, yeah, they. I guess they taste like cotton
candy. They're good for like four.
Yeah.
You eat four of them and you're like, that's fun. That's tasty. And then you can't eat any more because they taste like cotton candy. And who wants to eat a whole bag of cotton candy?
Not unless you're at the Stampede or you're 7 years old. Like, I can't.
That was a funny line, though, because it's like, okay, now you have to try one or you're going to think I'm a weirdo. And I was like, Steve, you're already a fucking weirdo. I already know that. There's no ambiguity there.
Also, do people do that? Like I understand it's like, oh, I'm opening a bag of grapes at a grocery store. I'm going to eat one. Definitely I'm going to pay for it. But, like, that just seems weird to me. Like, go pay for it first and then you start eating it.
Oh, no. Lots of people, I think, eat shit at the grocery store before they buy it. And maybe don't even buy it.
That's fucked up for me. That's also, okay, that was a red flag for Steve, but my biggest red flag for Steve was when he's at Noah's place and she's not wearing shoes and he's fucking wearing his shoes. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
So disrespectful. Take off your fucking shoes in someone's house if their shoes are off as well.
Yeah, follow the lead of the person who owns the place or lives there primarily.
Yeah, good call. I don't know. I guess probably the most real red flag was when he inorganically and without prompting and without any sort of like charm to it asks if she's told anyone about him yet.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, why are you asking about that?
What an odd thing to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it, you know, it kind of goes back to that part in Barbarian where we see, I can't remember her name in it now, but we see her pay attention to all the red flags until she lets her guard down. And we see Noah similarly. She knows there are red flags. She's against her better judgment, but we see her trying to take care. Like, you know, when she has this date with Chad, she's talking to Molly being like, I don't know, he just texted me that it's cash only, which is a real fucking red flag. I'll go on the date anyway because I'm hungry and I want to like have dinner. And then like later when she's walking to her car, she sees like a person behind her and she's like apprehensive. She's got her keys between her fingers, like all these things that women and femme presenting folks do when they're out alone, because attacks do happen and have happened. She's all nervous and it turns out to be a guy just walking a baby in a little baby Bjorn thing. And she, you know, she kind of breathes a sigh of relief, but yeah, I don't know why she could detect the red flags with Steve, I guess, but when someone looks like Sebastian Stan, maybe it's easier to be like, not now, red flags. I'm looking at this hot guy.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just found it strange that she never asked about the sister and niece that questioned the cotton candy grapes.
Yeah.
Maybe they did it off camera, off screen, but that was the whole premise of Steve's approach to her. Be like, try these out. You know, wouldn't a nice question on the first day be like, so did your sister and niece try those grapes?
What do they think of those grapes? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's all I have for that. But that's take fair. Off your fucking shoes, Steve. Oh my God, that pissed me off so much.
Shoes off in the house, everybody. You heard it here from Alex Wan.
I think the takeaway is like, Noah needed to verify more of what Steve was telling her about himself before she went somewhere alone with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, are you really a plastic surgeon? Do you really have this family? Did you really save that kid who was burned? Like, there's got to be a news story about that somewhere.
But also, yeah, we see Molly do such a great job of, like, internet stalking, and Noah just didn't do that. I mean, everybody. I stalk everybody I meet for the first time.
Oh, by the way, there's too much traffic for us to get to this place, so we're just going to have to go to my place today. It's too much traffic? What? You didn't account for that? There's always traffic.
Luke, you live in Nelson. There's no such thing as traffic anymore. You live in a big city. Sometimes traffic is a deal breaker.
Is there traffic all night? Can't we just go for dinner and then go after the traffic?
Yeah, right?
No, because he doesn't want to drink and drive, Luke. Very He's responsible. Just, well,
don't drink.
You can't not drink, Luke. That would be irresponsible.
Well,
Yes, you can. You can not drink. It's pretty easy, actually. Turns out.
Some might even say it's more responsible to not drink.
Some might. Some might make that argument. Okay, I think we're off whatever topic we tried to start being on. So, Alex, what's the scariest part of the movie for you?
Yeah, I think I already said it, but this movie's not scary, really, at all. It's more of a thriller than a scary movie. So, for me, the scariest part would be when, like, the cooking show part, like, montage, when you see all the meat being prepared and stuff, knowing it's human meat, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I almost didn't want to eat any meat last night.
I had...
You know what? I didn't have any meat last night.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I had a bag of chips.
That is not a dinner, Alex.
tell that to my...
Wait. What kind of chips?
I had the remainder, like, fifth of a Old Dutch sour cream and onion, and then I opened a bag of sweet chili heat Doritos.
Dang, that's a good combo. Yeah.
I know how to live.
Yeah, you're living large. Your life's going well.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, the scariest part of this movie was just how good the food looked. That was a deliberate choice. It was so beautifully plated and prepared and shot that I was just like, damn, that food looks good. I was like, no, you can't think this food is good. You're not allowed. This is people meat. So that's my scariest part. Luke, what about yours?
Yeah, there's nothing really conventionally scary about this movie. And even the second order scariness of like this kidnapping and this kind of broader world. Again, it's scary logically, but it wasn't scary in the movie because of how goofy Steve was. Mm. So I'm going to say like probably the saddest part. I'm going to go saddest part of the movie.
Okay.
Was when Steve revealed his kind of like shrine to all of the women he's killed before. And he showed that, like, he kept so much of their paraphernalia and pictures of all of them and their names. So, because that was, like, also the moment where it looked like Noah might break. Like, she might break her long game character of lulling Steve into thinking she had feelings for him that she doesn't have. Like, it looked like she was just maybe going to try and kill him right there, which was too soon in the plan. So, yeah, just kind of making it tangible and visual. What he's actually like, because again, his personality even lulls the audience into feeling like he's not as bad as he is in a weird way, you know, like there's something kind of goofy and charming about him because he's a good actor, and so you're like, I don't know, but as soon as you see that, you're like, oh, fuck this guy, like,
yeah,
I hope he gets his dick bitten off.
I don't care how charming you are.
So saddest yeah. part.
A good saddest part of the movie. Okie dokie. So let's rate it. And Alex, pick us our final rating for 2022.
Before I pick a rating, I'm just reading the Wikipedia article.
Okay.
So a mid-credit scene depicts five of Brendan's clients in a white room seated at a table with bleeding human meat at the center. Mm-hmm. A satanic symbol is displayed during the end credits, indicating that Brendan and his clients are part of a Satanist organization.
Yeah, that was something we didn't mention, but like that goat face... reminded me of some sort of culty, like there's some sort of, at least a secret society here around eating human beings, I guess.
It was a goat face, and then behind it was an Ouroboros, the snake eating its own tail. So maybe there's something in that where...
So, like, does that mean we think that there will be, like, a sequel to this universe?
Or maybe there's, like, a universe where it's just a Satanist organization. Maybe it's, like, a completely different characters and stuff, but they're all part of this... Umbrella Corporation.
Okay, well, not to dig back into the movie, but this is kind of, these lingering questions are the kind of thing that make me feel, if I hadn't known, that this was somebody's first movie. Some of the kind of writing and directorial kinks to be worked out in storytelling, if you've never made a movie before. And it's like, you see that even the greatest filmmakers of all time, you watch their first movie and you're like, ah, I see how you got better over time. A little bit. There are very few filmmakers who their first movie is their best movie.
I mean, from a writing standpoint, and I'm by no means an expert at all.
You're not a writer, you're a lefter.
Thanks. But like, I took a creative writing course this semester, and it was all about like producing drafts of work and just sort of refining it. And there are times when I've literally been in the situation where I was like, I don't know how I can resolve this. It just happens. And then you're just like, I'll get to it. I'll get back to it. And then, like, you know, maybe I'll get back to it later. But, like,
deadlines come in.
Deadlines come in.
Studio wants a rough cut.
So just like, I don't know why this person's in this situation, but she needs to be in this situation for my story. So you're here. Like, and I'm like, sure, if it was ever, you know, to be made public work, someone will be
two
like,
two movies with Alicia Vikander, and we'll call it Deus Ex Machina.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I can see, who are they selling this meat to? I don't know. Rich people. Great. Like, job done. We don't need to explore that anymore. Are they Satanists?
We'll have lots of quick edits of the rich people eating the meat.
They'll all be old. One will be in a cowboy hat. One will be naked and sitting on the floor, I guess. One will be wearing plaid.
One will be on oxygen.
Yeah, one will be old. Yeah, on oxygen. So weird. Yeah, anyway, ratings.
Rating. So we are going to rate this out of 5 refused short ribs because...
Doesn't eat animals.
Yeah, he doesn't eat animals. And yeah, there were no animals in this movie, so you can say that there was nothing to deer.
Nothing to deer. That's funny from the Bambi thing that people won't know from this episode.
Yeah. Weeks back. Weeks back we talked about it.
Yeah, I like this movie. I had a really fun time watching it. I thought the two leads were great, had good chemistry, and it was a funny movie, and then the last like act of it was like, wow, what did I just watch? But it was like, it ended really satisfyingly, and it was just a nice kind of little bit of a social commentary on modern dating and, you know, the things people go through and dick pics and all that. So yeah, I like this movie, so I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 refused short ribs.
Refused short ribs. Luke, what's your rating?
Yeah, great acting, good cinematography, a lot of good jokes, funny, unique. I do want the version of this movie that's more straightforwardly horror, though. I think that the tension that could be made in a type of Prisoner-esque film would be great. Like, I think there's a cut of this movie that... where Steve is a completely different type of psychopath, and we have the plan hatched by Noah to get away, which is a little different because his personality is different, but then also the external one person trying to find them, and the denouement of the film of that coming together really well. Like, I think that is a movie I also want to see. So it's not but it's yes and. So it's a little late in the game to talk about what counts as a horror movie or not. This one is on the lower end, I would say. So yeah. All things considered, I enjoyed it, but I probably won't think about it very much either. Like, it was a romp for me, but there weren't really parts of it that are gonna like stick with me. So I'm gonna say 3.5 returned ribs out of 5.
Awesome. Yeah, I echo pretty much everything both of you are saying. It was fun. I will excuse a movie that's almost 2 hours long if it doesn't make me feel like I'm watching a movie that's 2 hours long. And this movie did that really well. It was paced wonderfully. Every time I was like, what is going on? That's when I got an answer. It was fun, and the music was great. And so I'm going to give this one a 4.5 out of 5 uneaten short ribs. And... yeah, just a great way to end the month and end the year with a fun horror movie, I think. So let's end the year with something to cheer. Alex, what do you got?
My cheer will be a movie. So yesterday I went out to go watch Glass Onion.
Oh, is it good?
And it was really good. I loved it. It's so fun. It's like a great sequel to the original Knives Out. Everything about, like... Only Daniel Craig is returning, and I guess there's like one kind of little cameo, which is really funny throughout the movie.
Okay.
But yeah, brand new characters, brand new kind of mystery, and it's just so smart and witty and funny, and like, it's a really funny movie. Like, I laughed so many times last night.
Oh, awesome.
So Glass Onion, great movie. It's in theaters for 1 week, and then it'll be out on Netflix next month.
Ah.
Yeah, I couldn't wait. I was like, I want to watch this now, so...
Awesome. Awesome. Man, that Ryan Johnson, they should give him a Star Wars movie. But he could do good stuff with that.
Yeah, he deserves one.
Luke's not taking the bait. Okay, I think I'm going to cheer just 2022 in general. We're here at the end of the year when this comes out. I know there's, as time of recording, there's still a month left to go, but it's been a tough year in a lot of ways, but it's been a really great year in a lot of ways. And so I am, you know, thankful that I got people in my life who are amazing and supportive, and that, you know, we've also done this podcast for another year. It's been so much fun. So I'm just going to cheer 2022 in general and hoping for lots more cheers in 2023. But what are you cheering, Luke?
Well, because it just ended the first season, I'm cheering the TV show Andor, which yes. To me is, like, by a head and shoulders, the best Star Wars since Rogue One. And Rogue One is the best Star Wars since the original trilogy. And I'm not really willing to say Andor's better than Rogue One yet, just because it's kind of wrapped up in the same story. Or Rogue One will be the end of Andor, basically, in a storytelling sense. But, man, have they crafted a compelling backstory for this character, as well as something that Star Wars probably should have done from the very beginning, which they kind of did with Rogue One and then didn't, is building the mythos and the storytelling around the Rebel Alliance, which is the other main player of the original trilogy that takes backseat to the hero's journey and the Force and lightsaber battles and all that kind of stuff and family drama. But it's just like a return to the thing of Star Wars that I think people fell in love with in the first place, which is this battle between good and evil, but made more complicated and interesting, and what it would have actually have taken. Because other than like a little bit in A New Hope, well, in all three of them, but like the kind of backstory of the rebellion is not really touched on. We don't even see Mon Mothma until Return of the Jedi. There isn't really a fleet until Return of the Jedi. And you get a little bit of that in Rogue One, but you're just seeing how it's germinating, you know, 5 years before that. And oh man, it's like, man, you can make Star Wars like this. Why don't you make all of them like this? So I'm cheering the TV show Andor, which I hope, do you know how many seasons it's supposed to have? At least
it's going to have another one. It's going to have
one more.
Yeah. There's one more after this one. Another 12 episodes. And I think Tony Gilroy is the director. I think he has said that this is maybe a spoiler for it, but it's going to, like, basically the last episode of Andor is going to be him getting on the ship to go to where they liberate Jyn Erso from her prison transport in Rogue One. So it's like going to be right up to.
Right. Oh, cool.
So it'll be like, you can do that.
Well, we're going to get a lot of people from Rogue One in the second season then. We'd have to.
Yeah. Not only did I rewatch Andor before the last episode came out, and if you watch it all in one, it does move a little bit faster, Alex, I promise you. But I also rewatched Rogue One, which is good. Yeah.
I'm Star Wars out. I don't care.
You're Star Wars out?
Yeah.
That's fair. It happens.
I've given up on slow TV shows. Give me something right hard right away, you know? Like Steve's dick.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Well, what a good bunch of cheers. Okay, well, that will do us for another year at Nothing to Fear. 2022 is officially over for our recording, our release schedule. I hope everybody out there is having a wonderful holiday time if you're celebrating, and if you're with people who you love, great, and if you're with people who are a challenge to be around, stay strong. You're amazing. We all love you here. Thank you so much for the support over the past year. It has been a delight to keep making the show, and I hope that you all have the best in 2023. You can find us on all of the platforms where you get our podcast, so download, tell your friends. We'd love to get some more listeners in 2023. You can leave us a review on those platforms, 5 stars. You know what? I'll link this in the show. I have to make a note to add links to ratings in the show notes. Maybe that will get more people clicking those links. You can also follow us on our Instagram. It is Nothing to Fear Podcast. And you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at DesignBilly. And yeah, just join our Patreon if you have a little bit of money that you want to give us. I promise there's going to be some stuff out there. I've been doing school, so it's been hard to keep up on it. But patreon.com/nothingtofear for that. And if you're in that sort of week between Christmas and New Year's and you want to, you've caught up on all of Nothing to Fear and you want to catch up on some other podcasts you haven't listened to, Luke's got a whole bunch of them for you. So where can people do that?
Really True Fiction or Liberal Soul, available on all podcasting apps of your choice.
Very nice. And if you're looking for some good tunes this holiday season, you can check out Alex over at
One Song a Day on Instagram.
Beautiful, beautiful playlist. You can listen to all the good tracks. Okay, so next week, next month, and next year, in fact, we're starting back up with episodes in January. It's all our birthday month. It's my turn to pick, and damn it, I'm picking another 2022 movie. That's right, I'm making 2022 month extended, at least for 1 week. I can't. It's our birthdays. We can pick what we want. So we're...
Is that our theme again?
Yeah, pick what you want.
Okay.
Pick whatever you want. But I'm picking a 2022 movie because I want to talk about it. And so we are going to watch Men. Not Two and a Half Men. Just Men. So Rory Kinnear, what you got? It's on Amazon Prime. All right. So thanks, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. And remember, folks, they're just movies. There's nothing to fear.